Good morning, Green Bay Packer fans. Wake up. It's time for Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. And welcome. It's the bye week. But no matter what, your Green Bay Packers are still undefeated at 7-0. Feels good, doesn't it? I was saying this the other day, man, it feels good to think that the Packers have a pretty darn good chance of making the Super Bowl again this year. That's right, I'm talking Super Bowl right now. Not saying it's in the bag and it's guaranteed, but I mean, seriously, don't you feel pretty confident that, I mean, that there's a decent chance the Packers are going to go to the Super Bowl again? I mean, seriously. All, you know, the team that was looking like it was going to be the toughest roadblock for the Packers, the Detroit Lions, at least early on, now they've lost two in a row to the 49ers and the Falcons, and suddenly the Lions don't look so tough anymore. Not that they're a pushover by any means. Jamie Jours comments on Twitter, "My Bears fan coworker thinks the Packers have locked up the Super Bowl already." When a Bears fan says that, yeah, I would think so. Comment from Brad Stanley, "Hard to think of a different team representing other than the Pack." Comment from Fort Wayne GB fan, "I have a better feeling this year than last year." Yeah, that's not saying a whole lot. Wow, what a difference, huh? Think about where your feelings were about the Packers 365 days ago. Maybe not exactly, but at the bye week last year. Packers weren't exactly doing so hot. Think about this. Last year, the Packers lost to the Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins at home. Remember that? It's almost hard to believe, isn't it? Oh my goodness. But Packers are playing well now, and we are in bye week mode. And we're reviewing some of the headlines in this morning's Packers Day links. If you scroll to the top of the Line blog, I left a link to it. Click it, open it, and today's top stories have to do with some accolades, or at least potential accolades for the Packers. Mason Crosby yesterday was named the NFC's Special Teams Player of the Week, coming directly from the Packers website. Says, quote, "Crosby earned it this time for his effort last Sunday in the Metrodome, where he made all four of his field goal tries, including a franchise record 58-yarder late in the third quarter. Crosby also hit four of seven kickoffs for touchbacks in the 33-27 victory over the Vikings." And I'll add three extra points to that as well. Kudos to Mason Crosby for earning the Special Teams Player of the Week. As I love to talk special teams, I'll make specific mention. Once again, I tweeted yesterday, Tim Mastay probably was his toughest competition for this award. Tim Mastay on Sunday had the third highest net average for an NFL punter in a single game since 1976. Third highest in the ever since 1976 for a single game. 55.3-yard net average for a punter. That's about as good as it gets. I was kind of wondering, it seemed like last year, not that it seemed like, it was, Tim Mastay struggled out of the gates last year. Remember early in the year? People were almost calling for his head after a couple games, just thinking he's the next Jeremy Kapanos or Derek Frost. But then all of a sudden it clicked. Right about this time of the year last year was the Halloween game against the Jets last year, where he was the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week and wanted to be solid the whole rest of the year. I'm wondering if the Vikings game this year was maybe Tim Mastey's moment this year. You know, he goes and boots three punts for a 59-yard gross average and a 55-yard net average. That's redonkulous, if you will. In other news, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is nominated for the FedEx Air NFL Player of the Week for the fourth straight time. This award actually doesn't hold too much water to me. And I mean, it's nice that the NFL does this and all, but, you know, it's voted upon by fans. And I think sometimes fans just have the ability not to be objective. And I mean, by all means, I mean, I hope Packer fans crowd the ballot box for Aaron Rodgers. I just don't put too much stock into this award if he wins it. But, you know, kudos to him if he does. It's a nice accomplishment to be nominated for it. We'll say that. And, so it'd be the four straight, and apparently nobody's ever won this award four straight times. It's a sad because of the bye week. He can't win it five straight times. Sad, is it not? Anyhow, those are your headlines for today's Packers Daily Links. A couple nice feature articles today, if you were to look through there. One on the grading system the Packers coaches use on the players after every game. How they grade out. That's written by Lori Nickel, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Another article about Packers players leaving for the bye week at Fox Sports Wisconsin. Another article about coaches looking for improvement from the team, from Chris Jenkins of the Associated Press. All links to all those articles are in the Packers Daily Links, including a column by Pete Doherty that looks at the team being good but not having a good defense this year. And I think I wanted to spend the majority of today's show talking about the Packers defense, and in particular, the secondary. If you want to call into the show, by all means, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If you want to talk about Mason Crosby, Tim Mastey, Aaron Rodgers, or the secondary, which I'm going to talk about right now, feel free to chime in or leave your comments on the live blog, which are being approved, or feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and all those comments pop up on our live blog as well. The Packers secondary, we had a conversation on Railbird Central, I think during training camp, right before the season began. I had made mention of some rankings from the Sporting News. I get the Sporting News magazine delivered to me, and they were ranking all the position units in the NFL, like what team has the best quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, every position. And at the time, they only listed the top three, you know. And at the time, they had listed the top group of defensive backs, the top secondary in the NFL. And the Packers were not listed in the top three. And I was like, wow, seriously? This is a Packers team? And once again, remind you, this is before the season began. This is a year in which Nick Collins was a Pro Bowler. Charles Woodson was a Pro Bowler. Tremont Williams was a Pro Bowler. and Sam Shields emerged out of nowhere to have one of the best rookie seasons of any defensive back in the NFL. And Charlie Pepper was a nice solid replacement for Morgan Burnett. And I was like, seriously? The Packers do not have one of the best secondaries in the NFL? In the top three? I couldn't even tell you who the top three were. I think the Jets were up there, of course, with Darrell Revis. Maybe the Eagles were, that they had landed Asamoah in the offseason. Patriots, too, I think. But anyhow. And you know, it's kind of almost proven to be true right now that the Packers really don't have that good of a secondary, or at least they haven't performed up to that level so far in 2011. Not that I'm closing the door on him or on them, but they were kind of right. They were right. I was wrong. At least so far. So far, we'll leave it at that. And part of that certainly has been because Nick Collins has been injured, you know, having the serious neck injury, going out, and Charlie Pepper replaces him in the lineup, and it's kind of, Charlie Pepper is kind of like last year as well, kind of having a similar season to Tim Maste, starting out slow and then getting better, little bit by little bit. Remember that first game Charlie Pepper replaced Nick Collins this year? Was it week 3 against the Bears? Got beat. Didn't look good. And now Charlie Pepper is kind of coming into his own. Not perfect. He's not Nick Collins. But again, he's being a solid, reliable replacement. But again, not Nick Collins. And you know, everybody in the Packers secondary is seemingly down. Charles Woodson is an interesting case, isn't he? It's like he leads the NFL in interceptions, and interceptions are huge. They are huge when you win the turnover battle in the NFL. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so Charles Woodson, when he's getting interceptions, is fantastic. But when he's not getting interceptions, Charles Woodson isn't looking so good in coverage. And not that that's anything new. He hasn't been good in coverage for a while now. And, you know, he's still good in the run game. He's still a tough, solid tackler, but perhaps you might argue that he's, you know, not as effective at that this year as he was a year ago. He's not as much of a blitzer this year, or hasn't been getting home on blitzes as much as he was a year ago. So while the interceptions are absolutely huge, huge, he's getting beaten coverage more often than ever, I think. And not that that comes as a surprise, as I say, but, you know, it's a shame. Tremont Williams' effectiveness has really been hurt by an injury. He's had a slow start to 2011. But the good news is, I think with the bye, and I tweeted this earlier this morning, I think Tremont Williams is poised for a big second half to the season. I think the time off will do him some good. He's had that shoulder injury that's, you know, lingered, has affected him, hasn't been able to jam receivers at the line of scrimmage. And he will, you know, get better. He has been getting better every week. He's been able to, you know, play closer to the line of scrimmage a little more, been a little more willing to tackle. And I think he gets this week off, you know, basically gets 2 weeks to heal, and he's going to come back big time for a second half of the season. I think that's what's going to happen. I hope that's what's going to happen. And Sam Shields, another slow starter this year, especially the first couple games of the season. He too, not being himself, really getting in the doghouse a little bit for his tackling. But, you know, he got beat a little bit early in the season. Not that he was this huge target. Of course, when opposing quarterbacks play the Packers, they typically think he's the weakest link, and that link isn't too weak. But, I mean, rather than throwing to Charles Woodson's area, who leads the NFL in interceptions, or Tremont Williams, who's a Pro Bowler himself, they've been throwing at Shields. And anyway, he got off to a slow start early in the year. I'm talking the first 1, 2, 3 weeks. Had been slowly improving. In fact, having his best game, the last game he played, week 6 against the St. Louis Rams, when he grabs that interception and subsequently manages to suffer a concussion and go out again for at least 1 week, missed the Packers-Vikings game. Now is eligible to come back. Head coach Mike McCarthy said on his Monday press conference that Shields has been cleared to return. So if the Packers had a game this week, he'd be playing, but they don't, and he'll be back. And you just hope that Sam Shields will continue to progress coming back from the bye. So that's kind of the state of the Packers secondary. I suppose we can throw Jarrett Bush in there, who subbed in for Sam Shields this past week. Tell you what, Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, if you go read his recap, his grading system, thought Jarrett Bush had perhaps the best week of any player in the secondary against the Vikings. Seriously. Played well, I thought. You know, got beat deep that one time. It wasn't even deep. It was, you know, a mid-range throw that the Vikings converted for a first down late in the game. Other than that, he did well. And he's been okay this year. Hasn't been, you know, anything special. But Jared Bush has been okay, solid. Somebody commented, I think, the last show that, or was it during the post game, that they were glad at least with the progress Jarrett Bush has made throughout the course of his career in Green Bay. Remember when Jarrett Bush first came here? What was it, 2007? He was kind of inserted as the nickelback and got burned a lot and lost his job and never really regained it since that time. But these past 2 years, last year and this year, you know, much improvement from Jarrett Bush, at least. And Pat Lee has played a tiny little bit as Packers dime back, but the amount of snaps he played, I can probably count on two hands this year, perhaps. I might be exaggerating, but still, Pat Lee has not played a whole lot, hasn't done anything poorly on defense, but hasn't made an impact as well. So that's the state of the Packers secondary. Underachieving this year, of course. I mean, we've talked so much about how the Packers give up lots of yards to opposing quarterbacks. You know, it seems like every week an opposing quarterback is throwing for over 300 yards. I that's not true, but, you know, it's happened more times than not. And they have been seeing a fair amount of success. And also, they've been prone to giving up the big play, as had been featured in several articles this week. Many beat reporters kind of taking up that angle that Mike McCarthy talked about, and defensive coordinator Dom Capers. It hasn't been so bad for the defense this year. They've been doing a fairly decent job keeping other teams out of the end zone for the biggest part, for the most part. They've been doing a pretty good job of
actually keeping opposing quarterbacks' passer rating awfully low. It was surprising because they're throwing for a lot of yards on them. But when they're getting turnovers, I mean, that's what it's all about. And the Packers have, I believe they're tied for number one in the NFL in turnovers, interceptions, and fumbles. Of course, Charles Woodson leading the NFL. Morgan Burnett doing pretty good himself. I think he's tied for number one among safeties in interceptions with 3. So good job to the young second-year player there. And you know, it's, you just hope they're going to improve. The secondary has not been good so far this year for the Packers. It's been average. They've been getting the interceptions. They just haven't been as solid as last year. They haven't been a top three secondary this year in the NFL. Hopefully they will become that as time goes on. They become healthier. Guys like Sam Shields and Tremont Williams, recover from their various ailments, and everybody steps up. Yeah, what's going on the Railbird Central live blog this morning? For the past 15 minutes, all that every time I take a look at it, it's talking about Sebastian Janikowski. Where is this conversation coming from? I know I started off today's show talking about Mason Crosby and Tim Mastay, but it has devolved into specialists from other teams in the NFL. Jamie George says KMJ really likes other people's special teams. Brad Stanley, isn't this a Raider blog? Anyhow. I'm not sure what's happening on the live blog today, but we'll plug on here on Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com, devoted to Packer fans worldwide. So it's the bye week this week, and it's a time for the Packers to heal up. And I just wanted to take stock of a couple players who are injured and kind of work our way around the team and see where the Packers are at now, where they might be a week from now when they get back from the bye, and perhaps late in the season as well. You know, what's really good for the Packers is that their skill position players are among the best in the NFL, and the Packers have had very few injuries to all skill position players. Think about that. You know, the Packers have had various ailments this year, but all the skill positions, we're talking about the fantasy players, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight ends, you want to throw a kicker in there too, go ahead. Hardly any injuries in that area. Aaron Rodgers obviously has been injured and is playing unconscious. His receivers have all been fantastic. Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, Randall Cobb, James Jones. None of them been hurt this year. At least nothing major. Greg Jennings bruising his hand this past game, but manages to have over 100 yards receiving even so. One minor injury to Ryan Grant. I wouldn't call minor, but it kept him out for 1 week, in which he had the bruised kidney, I believe, in the Bears game, and it kept him out of week 4. But James Starks has been there all year long. Tight ends have been healthy all year long. Jermichael Finley. All of a sudden, we're seeing some improvement here from Andrew Corliss. Tom Crabtree is Tom Crabtree. And even the rookies starting to get involved a little bit. DJ Williams seeing a little time on offense. And like I said, Mason Crosby, a Pro Bowl NFC kicker this year probably. So there you go. I mean, there's one of the keys to the team this year. The skill position players are healthy. Let's take a look at some of the players who aren't so healthy. Brian Bulaga suffered a knee injury, was out a week, has come back and looked good now 2 weeks in a row. I said Tom Crabtree is Tom Crabtree. Brian Bulaga is Brian Bulaga. I mean, it seems that whenever he's playing, and he's, you know, had very few injuries in his young career. I mean, the one that he had here did not keep him out long. Boy, has he been... You just don't worry about Brian Bulaga. So it was nice to see him come back. You know, the biggest injury on the offensive line was that to Chad Clifton. Now, Marshall Newhouse, young guy himself, done an admirable job replacing Chad Clifton. I think that's what we can say about Marshall Newhouse. Admirable. That's my modifier of the day. My adjective of the day. So, he's played well. But, I mean, okay, so we got Chad Clifton, and he's supposedly coming back. He thinks he will. Doesn't think he's got a hamstring injury that'll keep him out the rest of the year. So it'll be really interesting to see when we have this Railbird Central show a week from now, and when the Packers get back to practice next week, see where he's at. You know, I think some people think or thought just kind of like Chad Clifton's done for the year and perhaps done for his career. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where he's at when the Packers come back. On the defensive line, Mike Neal hasn't played all year, but he's a guy that the Packers think highly enough of that they kept him active all this time. They could have put him on IR, but they did not. And now they're hoping, although there's been no guarantees from Mike Neal, has even said so himself, that he'll come back this year. But you got to think, the Packers got to be making a choice on him pretty soon. I think, you know, maybe after the bye week here, they're going to decide whether, are we going to keep Mike Neal on the active roster, or are we just going to shut him down? Because, I mean, is it really worth keeping this roster spot all year long for him? I mean, I think it's worth it if he can come back. But, you know, so, again, you know, when the Packers get back to practice, it's going to be interesting to see where he's at. I think Mike Neal himself said he won't be playing in the Chargers game. But perhaps after that. So we will see. Elsewhere, other injuries. Frank Zombo has been hurt a lot this year. Boy, has he been a subject of bad luck. Has the broken scapula, is out the first, 5 weeks of the season. Finally comes back. Gets into one game and then gets hurt again and was out this past week. But apparently, it's nothing that's going to keep Frank Zombo out a long time. And the Packers could use some help at that outside linebacker spot opposite Clay Matthews. Eric Walden, while he hasn't done poorly, hasn't done anything you know, spectacular this year. And it's you just think that the Packers could get more production out of that roster spot. And we already kind of talked about what's happening in the secondary rather in depth earlier this show. Guys like Tremont Williams and Sam Shields fighting through injuries. Nick Collins, of course, we know, lost for the year. So, you know, we wait and see. A week from now, which will actually be the next episode of Railbird Central next Wednesday, we get an update on the status of these players, guys, especially like Chad Clifton and Mike Neal, who have been out and might be able to come back, but also we keep an eye on guys like linebacker Frank Zombo, defensive back Sam Shields, Tremont Williams, how much they improve. Anyhow, that's going to do it for this morning's episode of Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm taking off for a week during the bye week. It's my bye week as well. Taking my annual college football road trip, heading out to Oregon this weekend. Taking off tomorrow. Plane leaves tomorrow morning. Right now at 9:02 a.m. Exactly 24 hours. I think that's when the depart time is. 9:02 a.m. tomorrow. Frontier Airlines to Oregon from Milwaukee. So, no, I'm excited for that. Every year I go on a college football road trip. This year, heading out to see the Ducks play in Autzen Stadium. I've always heard so much about Autzen. Bit like best football stadium on the West Coast. So, heading out there. Going to do some travels around Portland and Eugene. And going to be fun. And I'll be back next Wednesday for the next episode of Railbird Central. So, see you later, everyone. Have a good week. Have a good weekend coming up. Have a good Halloween. And once again, I'll leave you with a Halloween-themed song here. Cemetery Walk 2 by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone.